Bad News Mobility Revolution podcasts are a series of interviews in which we ask thought leaders and innovators at the forefront of the marketing and communication industries six key questions. In this series, we explore the trend towards mobility and examine new marketing opportunities and media platforms which are providing innovative ways to connect with consumers. This series of interviews is an educational initiative supported by the Australian Association of National Advertisers and the Australian Marketing Institute.
Welcome to AdNews Mobility Revolution 2008 podcast series. I'm Peter Stevenson from On Communications, and we're about to kick off the season by talking with Justin Milne, CEO of Big Pond. Good afternoon, Justin, and welcome to Six Questions.
Hi, Peter. Thanks.
We're here today, Justin, to talk with you about Big Pond. Lots of things happening there. Big Pond TV's been launched, a whole range of mobile internet services. We'd really like to talk with you today and get a view and your understanding of where it's all heading.
Where it's all heading, I wish I knew.
Yeah, well, that's probably the bit that no one knows, the $64 million question. But, Justin, there's lots of exciting things happening over there at the moment with Big Pond. I mean, firstly, the TV initiative. You've gone out there and launched that, and there's a lot of noise in the marketplace. Do you see this, like, just on a philosophical level, do you see this whole mobile internet drive as, is it a revolution or an evolution?
Well, I don't know. I guess it's a kind of like a fast evolution, just to try and split the difference. I do think it's absolutely clear, and I think most people would agree, that the way we consume media is changing, and it seems to be changing really fast. But does that mean that it's going to be like an out with the old and in with the new, and you know, the czar, as it were, from the years gone by is going to be assassinated and dead, never to be seen again, and there's going to be all this new crowd who run things? I don't think so. So that's why I'm sort of trying to split the difference here. You know, in my career, I've generally learnt that the advent of some new medium almost never means the demise of the media that came before. And so if it were a revolution, then you'd say, right, well, everybody's going to be watching TV on their mobile, never going to watch TV on a screen in their lounge room again. And I'm absolutely certain that's not the case. I'm also pretty certain that free-to-air TV and pay TV have huge and long futures. But at the same time, I'm pretty convinced that mobile TV and indeed internet TV have huge and long futures as well. Because I guess the thing that we find, and if you sort of think back over the last 30 or maybe even 50 years, is that as each new medium comes along, we as consumers seem to be prepared to pay for it. We seem to be able to dig into our wallet and find the money. So we now buy pay TV, we now buy internet, we now buy content on our mobile, we still watch TV, we still read newspapers, and there's a bit of a rebalance between these things, But as humans, we're just hungry for media, and the latest and greatest is to get all of my information on a mobile, and people are doing that in droves.
And it seems to me too that we're snacking a lot more often, and we're filling the empty spaces in our lives with this kind of digital technology.
We fill empty spaces, and we sort of create empty spaces as well. I don't know if you commute to work, but I just moved houses, and I've been recently becoming a commuter, which has been great fun. And I noticed that everybody hits the platform, and the first thing they do is they flip open their mobile phone. And it's whether they're sending texts to their buddies or whether they're looking at content, that's what they do. In fact, people get in lifts, and they flip their mobile phone. So we've sort of creating these extra gaps. They go straight to their mobile, and you're right, they're after little tiny snacks. But we're finding from some of our new experiments, if you like, notably Big Pond Sports Weekend, which is a show that runs from 9 o'clock until 6 o'clock on Saturdays and Sundays on your mobile, is that whilst people are snacking in and out of that, they're actually hanging in there for pretty long periods of time as well. So we've got lots of people who are watching TV on their mobile for, you know, 20 minutes and more.
We're seeing a great increase in the numbers of latest research in the States about media multitasking and just the amount of layering that people are doing. So, I mean, I think you're well positioned in that sense. This is redefining Big Pond, really, isn't it? You're getting in early, you're establishing, you know, new turf, and you're redefining the brand.
We've had a lot of success with trying to get content and what we call value-added services, but in particular content, to become, in fact, an important part of the definition of Big Pond. When we go and research the Big Pond brand, people like our brand, and they give us a big tick for being innovative. In fact, they put us up in the same country as eBay and Amazon and Apple and Bang & Olufsen. Y&R do this research, and they call us a magician brand. And I don't have any doubt that one of the reasons that people put us in the magician box is that we get an innovative tick on account of the content. And they see the stuff that we're experimenting with, and they go, oh, that's nice, that's interesting. And so that plays very well into our brand. And when people decide who they're going to choose for their ISP, for a lot of people, being innovative really counts. And so that the content kind of helps to give us that sticker.
So you're pretty committed, obviously, to doing a lot of content. I mean, you've got the Foxtel, you've got other properties, Summer Heights High, and material that you're repurposing or that you're using, but you're also very committed to generating your own, and it seems to be about the sports and sponsorship properties.
Yeah, we do, but we have quite a lot of stuff in the entertainment side of things as well. In some ways, we're not that different from a free-to-air network, in that if you look at what a free-to-air network does, is it will commission certain content, and we do that. It will aggregate content, just go to the shows and to the markets and buy content in from overseas, and then there will be key content that it produces itself. The cornerstone of any network schedule is the news and current affairs show that comes after it, and if you get that right, then that will kind of lead your audience through for the rest of the evening. And we're not too dissimilar from that. So having a very good BigPond.com homepage and providing a good news service there is actually very important for us. And then we've really made a big bet on sports. So we've bought exclusive online and mobile rights to the AFL, the NRL and the V8 supercars. And then in addition to that, we've put together Big Pond Sports Weekend, which pulls all those rights together live and aggregates a whole bunch of more stuff. So we're a bit like a free-to-air network in that we aggregate some, we produce some, and we commission some content as well. So we have commissioned a number of different Mobisodes for our mobile Big Pond TV service, and they've been very interesting and by and large work quite well.
So a lot of learning in that area?
Well, you know, that's the great thing about this job is that we really get to learn on the job, and there is no book that you can go and read, you know, how to do it.
Which is fantastic, because you can just keep basically experimenting and learning and evolving as you go.
Absolutely, and it's you know, taking a chance, and this is not different from any other medium, really. Is you know, if you're in, I use free to air again, but you've got to be innovative there. You've got to try new shows, and if you get it right, if you come up with, you know, The Block, for example, then it's a huge success, and then everybody copies you and tries to do similar things. That's the nature of the game, and so we certainly are doing that. Mind you, that's occasionally sort of strange and uncomfortable ground for a telco, which is traditionally an engineering dominated kind of business and is a bit more risk averse. The great thing I think that we've got here is that Sol Trujillo has absolutely got this media commerce vision, and so he gives us tremendous support and completely understands how the media things that we're doing are adding value to Telstra, and indeed doing what we call pull through, which is getting customers to buy our mobile phones or our broadband service in preference to the other guys.
And Justin, how do you quantify it? I mean, what kind of uptake have you got to date, or how do you quantify the power of that?
Oh, look, I could bore you for hours in all of the metrics that we...
Please don't.
You know, we metric the life out of the thing to see just exactly what goes on. And, of course, the interesting thing in the interactive space is that you can get a lot of metrics. But, I mean, a few things are going, you know, are pretty spectacular for us. We've had, for example, an increase of around 350% in page views of our mobile content over the last 3.5 months. So that's a spectacular increase, and therefore gives us the feeling that there's really a flywheel that we've got turning here, and you know, the market is really going, wow, NextG, that's a great network that gives me great coverage, and gosh, they've got all this really good content as well. Give me some of that. So that the you know, the verbatims that we get back from the qual groups that we run in relation to our content are extremely positive, and the people are voting with their feet. So we're getting some tremendous increase. We the bets that we've placed, if you like, in relation to sport, are really paying for it, offer us this season with, you know, huge growth in our sports numbers. And for sport, we dwarf News, Fairfax, Fox Sports, all of the competitors. And just straight up on the portal basis, I think we've got growth at the moment, which outstrips our main portal competitors online by a long way. So we've got all of our needles pointing in the right direction. We're pretty happy at the moment.
That's great. Tell us, we really want to understand marketing and advertising opportunities. I mean, you've got Big Pond TV and you've got the mobile internet services. How will it open up for marketers?
Well, I think it'll be extremely interesting. I mean, you get the... If I take Big Pond TV online, we play out a huge range of different shows and channels and VODs, or, you know, videos on demand, through our media player, and many of those have advertising built into them. Now, the advertising in that case is a 15 or a 30 second TVC. That's now set up so that and not many organisations in the world are doing this, where we can play the TVC, we can program the TVC and play the TVC in a certain stream, in just the same way that we program a banner ad to go into certain pages.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And therefore, as we move forward, we'll be able to say, now the guy who's using our player at the moment, we think is this kind of person demographically, and therefore we'll target him with BMW ads rather than Hyundai ads, for example. So we can play out the 15 or the 30 second TVC, but in addition to that, we can do what we call is a leave behind, in that we put a little banner ad up as well, which is of course interactive, which sits underneath the vision.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see the ad for the BMW, watch the sports clip, and all the time that it's running, the banner ad for the Beamer stays up there, and so you can click through on that, and we can measure that both ways. Then, of course, there's the mobile side of things, and advertising on mobiles is still pretty nascent, but I think
yeah.
We've got a huge share of the market such as it exists at the moment in Australia, and I think you'd be hard pushed to find a sort of a pundit in the world who doesn't see an enormous future for mobile advertising, because, of course, in mobiles you can do banners, you can do little TV ads, and then you've got a couple of ways that people can respond, which is they can click through to the site, or they can click to call. So saying, and call this number, and you go, oh, okay, click. That's something that we can't do, or certainly can't do easily, online. So that gives it a whole extra bunch of capability. But then over the top of that, you've got to lay our capacity to understand who the people are who are looking at the ads and what sort of ads they looked at last and what sort of sites they went to, so we can target them very accurately. But wait, there's more, because we can know exactly where they are. So we can say, we think this guy is a 30-odd-year-old male. It is Friday afternoon at 5:30. He's standing in the city close to a pub. How's about we give him an ad for beer? And I think that's an extremely powerful thing for advertisers.
What's your research telling you? I mean, you see a number of reports from overseas and Australia talking about the resistance. You know, mobiles are very personal spaces. And the sort of overload situation, or people saying, no, I don't want to get sort of pushed messages pushed at me all the time. You know, what's your philosophy on that?
Sounds a lot like what people said about the internet when it first started, and sounds a lot like what people were saying about TV when it first started.
Yeah, it's interesting. There was some the trial of Blick in the UK. I'm not sure if you come across this, but it's an ad-funded mobile service, and they've just targeted 16 to 24-year-olds and said, we'll send six messages to you a day. You get free calls, free text. And they've got their annual total in 6 months. They've got 100,000 subscribers. So it just goes to show, doesn't it, if there's a need there, people will quite happily accept. If there's a value they're getting in return for the ad messages, they will be receptive to it.
Well, it depends whether... What amazes me is whether that business model will work long-term. I'm sure there's lots of people who have a crack at the business model. There'll be a lot of punters who will accept it because they say, gee, oh, six ads, okay, I'll take that. Whether the ad revenue in the short term is going to be sufficient to pay for the cost of actually running a mobile service is another question.
Yeah.
It does cost a lot to build these networks, billions and billions of dollars. So I think that the telco industry, the jury is very much out on whether that business model will work long term. But there's no doubt that many people will have a shot at it.
Yeah. Where do you see it going? I mean, you've got a pretty broad range of services in terms of the content. You know, the games, music, movies, search, the TV. Where do you or is it one of those things you just really will work with and it'll change as you evolve in terms of demand? Yeah.
They'll vote with their feet, and we can watch what they do real time. So we're starting to get good data on the sorts of shows they like and the sorts of shows which are a bit ho-hum for them,
yep.
The sorts of services that work for them and those that don't, and there are a few surprises along the way. But of course, it's a very rapidly changing feast because right now you could be forgiven for thinking that on mobiles it's mostly early adopters, and the users of those services tend to be younger males. So that's a pattern that we've seen before in the internet.
Yep.
But now on the internet, things have matured so that you've really got a pretty broad cross-section and lots of families on the net. So, you know, tastes change and expectations changed, have changed. And I think that will happen as well on mobile. So, it moves.
Yeah, exactly. It's a moving feast. Just to finish up, Justin, there's some really interesting stuff that interests me you've got there in terms of Big Pond Photos, Big Blog, that kind of stuff that allows for community interaction or the tribal side of things, a bit like the Twitter sort of kind of thing. Where do you see that going?
Well, I think the jury's out again on sort of social networks and all of those kinds of social media. Again, I've learned to be a bit suspicious about things that have an enormously rapid rise. They very often have a rapid fall down the other side of the mountain.
Yep.
I'm not saying that's going to happen with social networks, but that they are still yet to be monetized in a serious kind of way. So we provide an aspect of that, as you say, with blogs and photos and those kinds of things. They're not huge for us, but
yep.
then they work very well in context. So we have lots of serious bloggers when we contextualize it. So, for example, we give people the capacity to blog based on the AFL site or based on the V8 site, and people become passionate and they have passionate conversations that go on. But they're sort of spurred by some of our different content sites. We're also extremely active in Second Life. Interestingly, we are the biggest real-world brand in Second Life by a towering amount, and that's compared to all brands in Second Life, Toyota, Chevrolet, IBM, all those guys. Big Pond's actually the biggest there because we've invested in Second Life, and that's very much a social networking thing as well, and that's working extremely well for us. So, but again, in terms of numbers, it's relatively niche. So we were happy to play in these sort of various sandpits and, you know, keep irons in the fire to torture a few different metaphors and just see what the punters like.
Yeah, and I mean, I saw some figures saying Second Life is something like 10,000 regular users in January this year in Australia, and it had dropped a bit. But again, you come back to where we started, which is it's about learning, it's about experimentation, it's about finding out how people are behaving with all these new digital opportunities.
That's right. That's right. Second Life is really interesting because it sort of mashes up to use the sort of the popular vernacular of the net. On the one hand, social networking, on the other hand, chat, and on the other hand, the use of avatars and this kind of representational stuff. And it's very interesting. No doubt it will evolve, but it's great learnings for us to be there.
Fascinating. Justin, thank you very much for your time today. It's been great to talk with you, and we really appreciate your insights.
Pleasure, Peter. See you soon.
Thanks for your help, mate. Bye-bye.
Ad News Podcast Series is an initiative from Oncom Communications and Stellar Sound. Ad News is Australia's top-selling advertising, marketing and media magazine. Visit oncom.com.au for marketing trend information and to register for a free fortnightly review newsletter. That's oncom.com.au.